Talks. Welcome to the show. Here we go with Annie Talks. Annie Talks. Annie Talks. Welcome to the show. Here's the host. It's Annie Talks.
Hello, this is Charles Prosser, aka Phileas Cheesesteak, retired teacher, semi-professional actor, companion TJ the Wonder Mutt, and Twitch Sings Noob. And you're tuning in to Annie Talks.
Okay. My goodness. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Hey. Are you guys seeing us? Can you see us now? Can you all see us now? I know. If you can't see us, Charles and I are going to go talk in the back. All right? Cash us outside. No, just kidding. Welcome. Oh my goodness. Okay. You missed it. You know, we were like, I was tearing his hair out. He was tearing my hair out. And we were just like, we were a mess. We're an absolute mess. Okay. Awesome. I'm trusting that this is better. Can you guys see better? Can you hear better? Not that you are better, but are you guys all good? Is everybody good? Oh my goodness. Hello. Okay, let's go down this list again. We have Jean, we have Evie, we have Noodles, Guam Num Num, Spider Monkey, K-Pop. Thank you guys all so much. Thank you. As you heard, okay. Okay, here we go. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Truly, truly appreciate it. I'm so appreciative of your time, and thank you so much for supporting both myself and Phileas Cheesesteak. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm probably going to call him Cheesecake about a million times, but you guys know him as Phileas, but let's get started, you guys. Here we go. So, he was born. In Omaha, Nebraska, he was the second of five children. Phileas grew up an Air Force brat in various places in the U.S. and Europe. He graduated from the University of Alabama in 1983 with a bachelor's in 1988 and a master's in secondary education. Oh, hello, everybody. In a master's in secondary education, Phileas retired from public school teaching in 2010 and is currently a part-time computer technician with Tuscaloosa County School System. He has enjoyed a long amateur theater career, both acting and directing, spanning three decades. In his spare time, he has worked on the production side as well as the acting and director side, with a list that goes on and on and on. So many to name here. So now, without further ado, everybody, please give a warm welcome to Phileas Cheesesteak. Woohoo!
Thank you.
Let's see some hype.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's see some hype in chat. You got chap. I keep saying that. Chap. See, say hi. Oh, awesome, you guys. I'm so excited.
Ha! Wow. There's my TJ. There's my TJ emote.
Oh, is that you? Oh, that's TJ nice. The one that the one that Spider Monkey has.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Awesome. Okay. Well, I want to find out. From Phileas, exactly what Phileas Cheesesteak means. So, why don't you tell us, Phileas?
Well, it all started. I actually have been on Twitch as a streamer since the beginning. Back in the day, I would stream World of Warcraft. I've been on World of Warcraft since vanilla WoW. And my character's name was Phileas. He was a gnome mage. And so I was Phileas, and I would stream WoW. Not very much, and not very successfully. When I started a couple of years ago, I did not have a PC. I had a Mac, and it was, it's a different story.
Welcome to my world.
And so when I discovered Twitch Sings, just sort of stumbled across it and watched a couple joined in a couple of streams and watched and chatted, and I decided I would start streaming again regularly. And so I came on as Phileas TV, which I had changed my name from just Phileas to Phileas TV because, you know, people do that.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I streaming and getting to know people and stuff like that, Gloop Dog started calling me Philly Cheesesteak. You know, he has a nickname for everybody.
That's very true.
He endears himself to everyone and makes everybody feel, you know, personal and you know, like he really knows you and he really gets to know. So he started calling me Philly Cheesesteak. And so one day I just said, what the heck? I'll just change it to Phileas Cheesesteak.
Oh.
I like it. I mean, people seem to like the name. So.
Right. Oh, well, whatever a name it is, Phileas TV or Phileas Cheesesteak, it's Phileas, and we love you and we're happy to have you. So thank you.
I am so happy to be here.
So now, we just went through that very abbreviated bio of you. So I know there's a bunch of other stuff that we could throw in there, and I'd love for you to fill in the gaps and let everybody know exactly who Phileas is, please.
Well, I am a part of a large family. I guess in today's standard, 7 would be large. My father has passed away. There's still 6 of us. I have 2 sisters and 2 brothers. I'm the second. I have an older sister. We grew up a military family, as you mentioned. My dad retired in Montgomery, Alabama, from the Air Force, and we stayed in Alabama. Much to our chagrin, the kids, we all wanted to move back to Pennsylvania, or where my dad's family is from, or right. Nebraska, where my mother's family is from. But my parents were like, no, we're not going to do the winters, so we're just going to stay here. So I have basically lived in Alabama since the 4th grade. So I consider Alabama to be my home state. Went to the University of Alabama, graduated in 83 with my bachelor's and 88 with my master's. Retired from teaching in 2010. Now, if you do the math, that is not 25 years, which is the retirement time. But when my first month of teaching, at my very first faculty meeting, one of the old wizened ladies on the faculty pulled me aside and said, Prosser, did you do any work at the university, like graduate teaching or anything like that? I was like, yes, ma'am, I sure did.
Right.
Here, fill out this form because you only have a couple weeks. They're going to give you credit for work that you did at the university. And I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. So I filled it out, and I was able to purchase 4.5 years toward my retirement for like $1,200.
Oh,
that's $1,200 I've spent in my whole life.
Oh, my goodness. We should.
So when I actually retired, I had 27 years credit. So, hey.
Oh.
And retired at 50 years of age from teaching. Not kidding, retire from working. I still work, so. And as you mentioned, part-time technical computer technician with the same school system that I worked with as a teacher, and work on Macs and maintain the website and do all of that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you go, everybody. This is Phileas in a nutshell. Okay, bye. No, I'm just kidding.
That's it. Thanks for coming.
No, thanks for coming. Well, okay. So now... with teaching, I want to know a little bit more about your teaching career. I know what age group were you looking at, and then what was your subject matter, things like that. I just wanted
right.
to know.
Well, my teaching career actually started out in South America. Mm-hmm. When I graduated with my undergraduate degree in English, at the time in Alabama, there was 18% proration of the school budgets, and they weren't hiring anybody. So I saw an ad in the university newspaper. I had started working on my graduate degree, advertising teaching English as a foreign language in Bogota, Colombia. And so I thought, well, I could do that. So I interviewed for that. And because I had my teaching credentials from my undergraduate, they went ahead and hired me. And I went to South America and taught there for 2 years. And then came back and went to graduate school. And then after graduate school, in 88, I started teaching high school, teaching Spanish and English. My original degree was in English, but when I came back from my master's, I went ahead and picked up a Class B certification in Spanish, which is like 30 hours. And because I had lived in South America and had learned Spanish there, I had French in college, so I knew a little bit about the Romance languages. I was able to clip out of the first 2 years of Spanish, so I ended up taking 30 hours of 300 and 400 level Spanish courses while I was in graduate school. And taught high school in a little town called Thomasville, Alabama, mm-hmm. for about 7 or 8 years, and then moved back to Tuscaloosa, which is where I am now. And they didn't have any place in high school, so I had to teach middle school. So I taught middle school for 15 years or so. Yeah.
Very cool. And then what subject? Is it middle school? Well, everything, right?
English. Right. And I taught English. Taught Sweat Hog English, a little Welcome Back Cotter reference there, for a few years, and taught Spanish, and eventually became the yearbook sponsor and was the computer science teacher, and taught drama for one semester, but because my school didn't have any facilities and they didn't want to share the gym stage during the day, it was chaos. So I decided not to try to teach drama in school. But and so I eventually became sort of the electives teacher and maintained the school's computers. Mm-hmm. I did such a noteworthy job, according to the guy that hired me after I retired, that after I retired and I discovered that I didn't like sitting around, I talked to the guy at the county schools and said, would you mind if I came to work with you guys? And he's like, yes, of course. We haven't had to send anybody to your school for years because you take care of the computers. So I just started working with them. And awesome. I've been doing that since.
Okay, so let's quickly just address this. Everybody in chat is saying that it's still buffering. And I'm really sorry. I don't know if there's anything more that I can do. You know, it kind of is what it is. I hate to say that, but it's just nothing more. I don't know what to do. If anybody has any ideas, you know, let me know. I'm so sorry that we have to interrupt this because of buffering. But you know,
right?
I guess it is what it is. And I'm not sure if it's because of my overlays or what the situation is, but. The only thing different from compared to yesterday was I used a different overlay, so I'm not sure. Let's see, hold on. Just wanted you to be aware. Okay, so I'm getting some messages in Discord. Wow, that's awesome. So, are you guys, are we okay? Can you see? Can you hear? Can I keep going? Can I keep going, people? I'm just kidding. Are we good? You know, isn't that funny how we have to like rely on chat? Chat. Tell me.
I know. It's no telling what they're actually hearing at the moment.
And I don't actually know if they're getting anything. So, how are you guys? Do you want me to? Are you guys? Can I see you guys? So I could use yesterday's overlay, but we're just not. I'm not going to be able to see everything that's in chat. That's the only thing I can hear. Though.
So you can hear. Okay. Go Eat Rice says she can hear.
I can hear.
That's Rice says she can hear.
Right.
We call her Rice.
At least audio is clear. Okay.
That's good.
Hold on. Well, how about this? We're gonna have to switch to this then. How is this? Can you guys see us? Can you see me? Can you see him? Can we hear you? Can you see us now? Because I'm changing the overlay, you guys. Hopefully you guys can see it better. Give it a minute. Give it a minute. Well, you and I can have a conversation, Phyllis.
Yeah, for real.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what to tell you guys. It cleared a bit. Okay.
Hey, Allie, how you doing?
Oh, hi, Allie.
Aliandris was the first person to visit my stream when I first started.
Is that right? That's so cool. Mm. Okay, that's better? Better? Okay, then it's my overlay. Something's happening with my overlay, so we won't use that overlay anymore.
It's that moving overlay.
It's that moving overlay, I guess. Come on, Phileas, you're the IT guy. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, look, hey. I'm not the graphics design guy, though. So.
Okay, well then, I know to use the static one. Okay, just a minor note to myself. Use the static, not the moving. Okay, all good. All right. Did you guys hear about his education or his career, his teaching career? How far did we get? You guys are good?
Because there will be a test. At the end.
Love it. Okay, there will be a test. So he went at, the last we heard was he taught middle school, multiple subjects, all good now. Okay, go for it, Phileas.
Okay, so I taught middle school, which is an experience. I tried to transfer out of said middle school 5 times. To the high school, because I started teaching at high school, and it's a whole different world. And middle school teachers, you know, I take my hat off to them. My principal, I found out, blocked my transfer 3 of the 5 times, and the other 2 times they were just like, no, you need to stay where you are. So I'm I was, you know, I just for the computer service at the school, you know, they were happy to keep me there. So
awesome.
But I retired with, like I said, 27 years of credit on my teaching career. And so right now I work part time for the same school system. I get paid as a retired teacher and I get paid as a part time worker. And I work 4 days a week. And have Fridays off. So I have 3-day weekends all the time. So.
Very nice. Very nice. We're all jealous. Okay. Don't rub it in.
No need to be.
Now you're over at Tuscaloosa County School System. You're their part-time computer technician.
Yes.
And, you know, he couldn't fix my computer, but he's their part-time computer technician. No, I'm just kidding.
Look, you reach my hands into
exactly. What's that like? I mean, do you ever get this, like, hey, computer guy? Doesn't that just, you just want to go...
No, actually, no. I don't mind it at all. It's you know, the best thing about it is I get to go to the bathroom when I want to, and I get to eat, you know, in my office if I want to, or go to McDonald's or whatever. That's the best part about it. But I also get to know all of the people in the system, because when you teach, you're just in one school,
right?
And you know your fellow faculty and your administrators, but. I work in the central office, and we have we have 34 schools in our system.
Wow.
And so right now I'm just at the office, but I before we hired new technicians, we have a staff of 7 people now that take care of these 34 schools. Mm-hmm. And but I used to go out and I had schools assigned to me, and so I got to go out and meet the teachers out there. And you know, if it got hectic in the classroom, I could always just take the computer out and go away, and I didn't have to stay there. There
you go. I'm taking this. I'm leaving.
I'll be out here. I'll just be out here. You take care of these young'uns.
You take care of these young'uns. Seriously.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But it's fun. I mean, it was fun. And I maintain the website and keep things going there. So, yeah.
Very nice. Want to say hello to Go Eat Rice, who just joined us. And everybody, let's see, we've got Spider Monkey all the way up at the top. I'm just scrolling up, you guys. Jean, we've got Go Eat, I said Go Eat Rice, Guam Nam Nam, Evie, and a few, Voodoo. I see Voodoo. It's like I said, it's like being in Romper Room. I have to look through this little crystal.
I see or this, Billy, I see Ben.
And you youngins have no idea what I'm talking about. Absolutely not. So let's talk about your theater career. It spans three decades. Unbelievable.
Well,
so
it spans 5 decades because I'm 58 and I started in elementary school in the 3rd grade in the production of The Wizard of Oz. Yeah. And then in junior high, we had a great theater teacher. I was at a great old school in Montgomery, Alabama, that used to be a high school. So it had a full theater in there, full auditorium. And our junior high theater teacher, Mr. Silvest, bless his heart, he did full scale production things. And so mm-hmm. I got on there and started learning stage managing and acting, and then went on to high school. We moved to a small country school when I was in the ninth grade. So we didn't have much theater, but we did have a little drama thespian club there when I was a senior. And so we got to do some stuff. And then I was in a play in high school that was so horrible. It was so bad that I quit doing theater for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
I didn't do anything in college. Didn't do anything. And then when I was in Thomasville, Alabama, the little town I told you about where I had my first teaching job, somebody said, you know, there's a theater over here across the river. And they do good things. You should go over there and audition. Because I had mentioned to somebody that I, you know, liked to do theater, mm-hmm. had done some. Yes, so I went over and auditioned and started doing things with the Ballet and Theater Arts Performance Company, which was just a little mom and pop theater company in a small, small town in southern Alabama, southeastern Alabama. The theater seated 75 people, I think. and the stage was their ballet. She did ballet and dance classes during the week. So the stage was this big, huge, you know, dance floor, which they split in half and put a curtain through for the, right. for the shows, and did theater there. And then when I moved back to Tuscaloosa in 95, I got on with the with Theater Tuscaloosa, which is our local community theater. And it's a very good community theater especially for a community of our size. Mm-hmm. It might even be considered by some as a regional type theater. It's all amateur. They don't have a professional company. They had one at one point, but those things are hard to maintain if you don't have a base population large enough to do that.
Right.
But I've done, and that was like 90, actually my first show with them was in 91 with Oliver, and from 91 to now. So almost 30 years, 28 years, 20 wow. or so doing shows.
So we have some pictures. Let's talk about those.
Let's, yes.
We're going to show you this lovely slideshow of photos here. So they may be a little fast here, but maybe you can talk a little bit. It'll loop around. You guys can see some more photos. But tell us a little bit more about some of these photos and some of the roles that you played.
I, of course, you know, I'll probably see them on a big delay. So.
Right. Oh, true. Oh, you can just talk.
I actually, with Theater Tuscaloosa, you have to audition for every show. Okay. So for 30 years, and I've done, I would say in that time span, I counted it up one time and you saw my resume. I gave her a resume of my theater, my acting
yes.
experience.
My God.
I've done 125 shows. And
oh my gosh.
Span of time. And have between not only just at Theater Tuscaloosa, but I have acted professionally with the Oklahoma Shakespearean Festival in Durant, Oklahoma. I spent 5 summers there doing rep theater. That's 3 shows, having to keep 3 shows in your head and doing them one after the other from night to night to night. Did Shakespeare, played Falstaff there. And that was like my dream Shakespearean role to play. So I was very happy to do that. Over the years at Theater Tuscaloosa, I've started in the chorus. I mean, my first show with there are some of the shots coming. I can see them now.
Oh, sorry.
the first one was Friar Lawrence. The second one was Mr. Lawrence in the one with the girls, the Joe and the oh gosh, the name of the show. Yeah, and I played Daddy. I played Daddy Warbucks.
Wow.
Lots of different roles. I have hardly ever been the leading man though. I'm not the romantic lead type actor. I do voices. There's Tevye. I'm seeing Tevye right now. That was probably my best role ever in my whole life. I played Tevye and Fiddler. And then the year before that, I was Edna in Hairspray.
I love Hairspray so much. Love it, love it. Now, have you played?
I did play Annie.
Oh my goodness.
That was up. I mean, they did a thing at my theater called Miscast where, you know, play any role that you wanted to play, what would you play? And some of the ladies, some of the older ladies were doing It's a Hard Knock Life. And the director said, well, we need to make a medley out of this. Prosser, would you, Phyllis, right. play Annie? And I was like, what? Yes, I will. But you have to give me a dress and a wig. So he made me a dress. And
oh,
so
my
I
goodness.
Did it. So I sang tomorrow.
have you ever played, have you been in Something Happened on the Way to the Forum?
Yes, one of my favorites. I played Senate in that.
Yay!
Everybody's got to have a maid. Everybody needs to have a working girl. Yes, I played. I played Senate in that.
Oh my goodness! Oh, so we have a question here. It says, "This is from Go Eat Rice. She wants to know what's your favorite play and what was your most difficult one."
The picture that I'm looking at now, and I'm not sure if I'm at the same time, but one where I was in the white suit.
Okay. I'm going to go pull that. Let me see if I can pull up pictures real quick. You keep talking and I'll pull pictures.
Yeah, in the montage, I don't see it. But that was Death of a Salesman. Now, as far as when you say play, I think of what we say in the biz as a straight play, which is non-musical.
Right. In the straight play.
A straight play. Yeah. I played Uncle Ben, and that was in Death of a Salesman, which is probably one of the better plays that I've ever done. I have done dramas, I have done comedies, but my real love is musical theater. Yeah, right. that was Mr. Lawrence in Little Women earlier. The guy with the little ascot there.
Okay, so the one with the white suit. I'm going to pull up right now. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Guys. So again, I had this all queued up, you guys. I knew somebody would ask a difficult question. I'm just kidding. Okay, here, let's just do white suit. Sorry. White, I said white sweet, not white. Okay, here it comes.
The white sweet.
Oh, the white sweet. It doesn't like me. Okay, so I'm going to pull up 1 second, you guys. Sorry about that. And then why was that your favorite role?
It was not a lead role. Uh-huh. It was a minor, relatively minor role. But the cast that we had was some of the finest actors in this area. The guy that played Willie Loman was amazing. He's an amazing local actor, Jeff Wilson. And the woman that played his wife is like the queen of theater in this town, just about. Diane Teague. And I played Uncle Ben. And he comes in, and basically he's a memory character, because Willie Loman, down on his luck and about to lose his job and panicking and trying to get ahead in life, but he never catches a break. Remembers his Uncle Ben, and the famous line is, when I was 18, I walked into the jungle. When I was 21, I walked out again, and by God, I was rich. So this is the success story that he can relate to. And so I really, really enjoyed that show. So many, and for different reasons that I love them, you know.
Right. Okay. And then now, what was your worst?
The worst show I was in, besides that one in high school that made me stop acting for 10 years.
Yeah. What was that one?
Well, that was, my mom told me when I went to university, because, you know, remember, we were a family of 5 kids. My dad was a sergeant in the Air Force. He was not an officer. So we never grew up with money. And I was the first of the 5 to go to college in our family. And so, you know, student loans, all of this stuff, mom's money. She said, you need to major in something where you can make money. Well, at first I started out as a computer science major. Now, remember, or not remember, I will tell you this. I started as a freshman in 1979. I would have graduated in 1983 with a computer science degree when the PC hit the market. Okay. The big Mac commercial that made Macintosh famous was in 1984.
Yes, 84, right.
Uh-huh. I would have been like a computer, you know, professional person and make scads of money over my career. No, I got an F in calculus, and so that put it the end of that.
Well, that was the end of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to have the upper math stuff. So I changed to English degree, and And so I didn't do theater in college because mom said, we can't afford to keep you after you graduate. Right. You know, you're going to have to get something. You're going to have to major in something that you can get a job in. And so we have educators in my family. I know lots of families have teachers in the family, but my grandfather was a principal of a school, and I have uncles, aunts and uncles who are teachers. And so, yeah, so I just went into the family business.
So then go back to the worst.
The worst show.
Yes.
How do we ever get off on that? Okay.
You know, theater. We just go off on a tangent.
I'm a tangent talker. Exactly.
That's exactly it.
Here's me right there. the worst show I was ever in was at Theater Tuscaloosa. It was a production of Dracula.
Oh my!
I played Von Helsing, who's the guy that hunts the vampires in all the movies and whatnot. And it was meant to be a drama, mm-hmm. but it should have been a comedy. And the production was, I mean, you know, we did our best. We tried to be sincere with it. But the dialogue was so hokey, and it just was not. I mean, everybody that was in that show, and a lot of the people I still act with today were in that show with us, and we think back, you know, every once in a while somebody will say something about Dracula, and we'll just all roll our eyes and go, oh yeah, that one.
Everybody has one of those shows.
Yeah.
Here's a question that just came to mind. Do you have a backstage ritual? Because I have one, and I'll tell you, I'll share mine with you in a minute, but go ahead. What's your backstage ritual?
First of all, I like to get to the theater early so that I have a particular, and the people that do shows with me, I make sure I get there early and first because I have a spot in the dressing room that I like to sit at. And I get my stuff. I've got like a caboodle, it turned into a fishing tackle box with all of my makeup in it. And I spread my stuff out. Mm-hmm. I have photos, you know, that from past shows, mementos and stuff like that. We have around our mirrors, we have like little corkboard areas. I put all that stuff up.
He plants himself there.
And all our brushes and everything. And people know not to get into my spot. So. because the Theater Tuscaloosa is it was a new facility. They're 20 years now, but I was with them when they moved into that place. And so started using this one dressing room, and it's, you know, when I was away for the summer times, I would put a sign on the dressing room door saying, "Welcome to the Charles Prosser dressing room." When I shuffle off this mortal coil, I just want them to name that dressing room after me and we'll be happy.
Oh my gosh, that's so hilarious.
Yeah, so I had that routine. And then when I'm backstage about to go on, I mentioned this to you earlier. I generally am not a nervous person, but I still get stage fright. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. And I usually really have to go to the bathroom, really, really have to go to the bathroom just before. And it's usually as the overture is playing. And
that's cutting really it close.
Enjoy. Yeah. But once I put a foot on stage, then it's gone. It's forgotten. Yeah.
It's all gone. All forgiven. All forgotten. All done.
But during the show, I generally just kind of sit, or I like to watch what's going on from the wings if I can, if there's room, you know, there's not too much scenery or stuff back there to get in the way. But I'm not one of those people. I know people, there are readers, people that sit down and read books backstage. Well, there are some people that have to pace. I know an actress, she's one of the finest comedic actresses I know. She's brilliant. We've acted together many, many times. We've played husband and wife many, many times. Mm-hmm. But she paces and goes over all of her lines before the show. And you know, when she's in that pacing mood, you don't talk to her, you don't say anything to her. But yeah, everybody has different rituals. And some people can, you know, horse around and tell jokes and tell stories and then just, you know, say, wait a minute and go on stage and do their thing, come right back off and pick up the story where they left off, you know, whatever. Right. While we're, you know, being quiet backstage, the audience doesn't hear us.
Right.
Yeah, all different types of people.
We want to welcome Garnett, 149. He says, hey, hi, Garnett. Phileas. Yay.
Hey. My buddy. My
country. let me just tell you a little bit what happened to me. Not that we're here for me, but
tell it. Dish.
Okay, so well, I have two stories. First story was high school. When I was in high school, get this, Phileas. Okay, I played Daisy May.
Ooh.
No, not ooh. Look it. Hey. Pitch black hair. What are you talking about? I played Daisy May. And my counterpart was Lil Abner, of course, right? Mm-hmm. And he was blonde.
Right.
So we're total opposites. But there was a scene right before the end of the first act. So it was...
I'm past my prime. And
Yeah. And but there was a scene where... oh, goodness gracious. It's I can't even remember what happened. But... I had to jump off backstage, or when I say jump off, I literally jumped off. So I went backstage, and I had the idea was I had to run all the way across stage left, and I had to run all the way stage right. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I don't know how I didn't see it or why I didn't see it. There was like this ledge, and I missed it, and I fell over it. Mm-hmm. I tripped and I fell over it.
Bless your heart.
Busted my ace.
Bless your heart.
Thank you. And then I came all the way around, literally all the way around. And the scene was where they were taking Abner away, separating us, taking Abner away. And I was going this way because I forget. Was it Gloria Rasputin? Is that her name? No, wait, no, no. I'm thinking about a different... No, I'm thinking about Lil Abner. Bye Bye Birdie. Well, yeah. Anyways, somebody was supposed to come take Lil Abner away, and somebody was to take me away. They're separating us. Right. And the scene was I came in, and I was supposed to cry, and I was crying. I was literally crying.
You have to try.
Literally. I didn't even have to try. I was hurt.
Oh, bless your heart.
And the scene, I'm going to give a Kevin, I'm going to give a Home Alone reference. It's a scene where Kevin's singing, you know, Christmas tree, my Christmas tree. And then everything falls. And then the mom stands up. She goes, Kevin! Well, that was my mom. I did this. I was like, I was crying. Right. And she stood up and she went, oh, no! And she screamed so loud.
Bless her heart. Oh, my goodness.
My gosh, that's when they knew.
TJ heard you. He empathizes.
He did. He sympathizes with me. So that's that story.
Yes. I have never had a thing. I have had an accident during a show. I injured myself, actually ripped all the tendons from the top of my knee and was unable to actually complete the show. I was doing amusement park theater. It was four shows a day in a little amphitheater at a local amusement park. And we were doing a show. And at one point during the show, we came off the stage and down the stairs out to the audience to pull kids up on stage so that they could have their pictures made with us. Because I was playing an astronaut. We were doing like, it was about Alabama, you know, Sweet Home Alabama. And, you know, we have Huntsville space thing. So I was an astronaut. And I was looking out to see what kid I wanted to get. And I thought I was on the bottom step, but I was on the second to the last step. And I stepped out into space and I went this way and my knee went that way.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So fortunately we had it double cast and we were able to call the guy who was my my match in the other cast to come out and finish the rest of the day's
performance. But goodness gracious.
I was out. I was out for the rest of the summer. They had to train somebody.
Yeah.
Come in and take over for me. I had to have surgery and everything. It was awful.
Oh goodness. My second story was, I was going to tell you a different story, but I think this one might be better. My second story was Bye Bye Birdie. I was in high school as well. I played Kim McAfee.
Oh,
lovely to be a woman. Mm-hmm. No way. Okay. So I was actually singing that song. I was singing How Lovely to Be a Woman. And the way the stage was set up, they set up my room on the second floor. So there was this level, right? So, and we're off to the wing. The other wing over here was the kitchen, you know, mom's kitchen. And I was up at the top. And they made the smallest space possible for my bed and me. And, you know, the scene is where she's singing, How Lovely to Be a Woman. She's all grown up, she thinks, and then she's undressing. But nobody sees that you're undressing because they're supposed to be listening to the song, but or so right. they say. So I'm undressing, and then this thing comes off, and this thing wouldn't come off. I'm like, oh my God, this thing won't come off.
Yeah.
Put it this way. My turtleneck was like here. It was way here. And then I'm like, to be a lovely like me. And there's no face.
Costume malfunction.
Wardrobe malfunction. That was it. Yep. That's all she wrote.
There you go.
That was the most funniest time ever. And I'll never live down. Friends and family still tell me. They're like, I will never forget that. So, yeah.
Nothing like live theater.
I love live theater. I love live everything. Live bands, live entertainment. I love it. It's so much fun.
Right.
Sorry.
I love when I've gone to New York several times and gone to Broadway shows, many Broadway shows. And, you know, just the professional cast are so slick and everything is so, you know, down and they've done this thing so many times. But I always love to see somebody make a mistake. I figured these professionals are getting paid all this money.
Yeah.
And I want to see somebody make a mistake. So
I've seen
like technical malfunctions and stuff like that. So, but most of the time, 90%, 99% of the times it's perfect show. Every once in a while you get to see, oh, I know, because that person, their face just went pale. They've forgotten their line and they're covering right now. They're making stuff up. Even as
they're making stuff.
And their stage manager is going, fine.
That's, I know, very true. And then your notes, all the notes afterwards are all about you. It's like, darn. One more story for me. And this is not about me. I get this, but I just want to tell you. I was in Into the Woods, and I played the mother. The mother was a tree. You cannot glamorize a tree.
Right.
In fact, I was so forgotten. Yep. I was in this tree. One time they forgot to let me out. I'm like,
Hello.
I stayed here. I stayed in that tree almost the whole entire scene. I was like, hi.
Yep.
And then I made the best of it because, you know, this obviously the mom in the tree is not supposed to be there, but I played on it and I just, you know, reacted, and I was getting, you know, reactions from the audience. But that was the one time. And then one time when I was supposed to sing and I didn't sing because I was too busy watching what was going on, there was like 16 bars of just dead silence, just the vamping, you know. And I thought, this is horrible.
Yep.
And then finally somebody kind of tapped me on the shoulder. Did you forget your line? You forget your song? I'm like, oh, darn. I get so involved. I just start, you know, I don't know.
When I was Edna in Hairspray at the last scene, you know, the whole thing is that Edna, they think that it's Tracy is in the hairspray can.
Yeah.
It's actually Edna's back there. Well, I had to get in that thing the scene before, and I was in this hairspray can, and the can was barely bigger than me. I couldn't bend over. And one night, my earring came off, and it fell right down, like, on the floor, and I could not get to it. So I thought, I can go out without an earring. And I was trying to get the attention of the stagehand that was standing behind the can to, like, you know, grab my earring, give it to me, because I can't go on without my jewelry.
Like this.
So I was in that can for 12 or 15 minutes, because it's a whole scene and they're like singing the whole first part of the scene and everything.
Oh gosh, I can't. I wish we lived closer, because I would love to do a musical with you. I'd love to be in a musical with you. That's just so funny.
And I have been in The Labner.
And
Bye Bye Birdie. I was in the chorus, because it was a high school. It was when I was in the eighth grade, so I was in the chorus. So I got to sing, if I had my druthers, I'd rather have my druthers, with Labner and stuff.
Oh, I love that. That was one of my favorite scenes, actually. So, because I sing and then the guys are in the background. So it was so nice.
Yeah.
And then the whole, you know, if I had my druthers, it was really a lot of fun. So now in Hairspray, let me ask you that.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get your makeup and your hair and all that? Did you do it yourself, or did you have others?
I did the makeup myself. If for anybody that's unfamiliar with the show Hairspray or has not seen the movie, at the beginning, the first couple scenes, I'm just, you know, this woman who irons clothes in her apartment. She doesn't go out of the house. She's not made up. I wanted to do homage to Divine, who played Edna in the movie Hairspray, the original movie Hairspray in the 80s. And so I had pictures of her, and I looked, and I had the long, straggly sort of black hair. And I put on, I had actually a stencil. I flattened my eyebrows, like, you know, drag queen style, and then stenciled on these high arching eyebrows up here. And I actually had to change from that into the what you see on the picture when you show it in 35 seconds, and put eyeshadow on. And
oh my gosh, really?
And I had four people back there because I have underneath, because you know, obviously men don't have that hourglass shape. Mm-hmm. So I had on a full bodysuit that was padded and had, you know, hips and you know, bazooms large out front. So I was in a muumuu and some slippers and an old ratty wig when I came off. The wig got ripped off. The slippers went flying. The muumuu came up over my head, and I had to get into the new dress. You know, person put the, here comes the wig, put your finger there, and they fit the wig. While they're doing that, somebody's like putting my eyeshadow on, which was blue, and I was like doing my own lipstick, and the shoes were on the floor and stuff, and because it's during a song.
Yeah,
and I have to make a specific entrance during that song. Welcome to the 60s. Mm-hmm. And we made it every night. The first night dress rehearsal did not make it, but we got our routine down and we did it. I never missed that. So that first one was, but then after that, you know, for other scenes, I had time back. Yeah, there it is. I had time backstage to get into. The-
And your hair—that's a wig, right?
Yeah. It's, oh yeah. I had a wig, and then the wig at the end was the same color, but it was about 2.5 feet off.
That's
the top
right.
of my head. It was actually three wigs put together with like a cone in the middle of it to hold the hair up.
Right.
Huge. I didn't include a picture of that in my red dress, but yeah, at the end of the show.
Oh my goodness. Was this one of your favorite roles as well?
Yes. Yeah. I got very lucky about 5-6 years ago. I got very lucky, three summer shows. As with most community theaters, our big summer musical is the biggest production of the year. And for three years in a row, I got three great roles. I got, the first one was Edna in Hairspray. And by the way, Mark Shaman, who is the composer and the lyricist and composer, co-lyricist and composer of Hairspray, actually came to see the show one night.
Wow, yeah. Very nice.
He actually knew somebody that was in town and was sick, and he had come to visit her and came back over to the theater to see the show. They didn't tell us, nobody, I mean, the director knew and some people back in the office knew, but they didn't tell us until after the show was over. Thank you, because I would have been a nervous wreck the whole show.
I know.
But I've had that role. The very next summer, I got to play Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. And that was the first, the only show that I really actually, you know, you were talking about being the lead, in that show. And that was an incredible experience. One of the best shows I've ever been in. And people, complimented me on that role. I think that I know that I worked the hardest, and I hope that I did the role justice. And then the summer after that, I was Max Bialystock in The Producers. So, and that's like the Nathan Lane role, if you ever watched the movie. Mm-hmm. So that was like three summers in a row, I had just precious major roles, and that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Okay, hold on. Let me just see if I can bring us over. Okay. Oh, this is the one we don't want. This is, hold on. Goodness. I've lost my screen. Oh, goodness. Oh, well. let's keep talking. So who do you have there in your lap?
This is TJ.
TJ.
He is my, right. he is my companion and the love of my life right now.
Okay.
He's one of four pets that I have. I have two dogs and two cats. The cats are indoor, outdoor. I have a doggy door. They go outside. They come and go as they please. They're all fixed, so nobody's getting pregnant or anything like that. And then a dog named Chambers, who sometimes you can see in the background. He sleeps over on the couch. He's half pug and half Shih Tzu. So he's got smash face. He looks like an Ewok. And he's a precious, smart little dog. And then TJ, who I got from a litter that some friends of mine whose dog had, and he was born 7 years ago in December. Mm-hmm. And he was born with a condition called cerebellar hypoplasia. Cerebellar hypoplasia means that he has a malformation of his cerebellum in his brain, which is responsible for large muscle movements, balance, and other sort of things with coordination. There's sort of a spectrum. Oh, there he is in his little Alabama jersey. There's sort of a spectrum, and according to the literature, it's not a progressive condition. Pretty much determines when they reach adulthood, and they will stay that way and can live a normal life, barring accidents, you know. Like I said, this is his seventh year. And he's fine. He doesn't walk, and he never learned to bark. He has no problem with drinking and with eating. He has no problem with digestion or anything like that. He can use all of his limbs. He can move all of his limbs. I have a cart that he uses to get around with for exercise. Okay. He doesn't run around in it all the time because it's mostly just for, you know, when I can supervise him and things like that.
Here, we're going to show a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah. There's a picture of him with my one of my cats.
He can't bark.
Oh, he can't bark.
He can't.
The cats love him. He's like their little heater during the wintertime.
He has no problem swallowing.
They crawl in the bed with him.
And, he if he burps, it looks like a mate. He looks like he's choking and stuff,
but he has a cart and he gets around in it as best he can.
Usually a big one.
The cart has four wheels.
He's trying to do soccer.
I'm sorry,
is it too loud?
I get excited.
Here you go, Tiege. Come on over here. Come on, turn, you can do it. Come on, turn. Come on, turn. Oh, okay, that step's just high enough to catch you.
But the cart, we were talking about the cart, it was custom made for him. I found a company, veterinarian office.
Okay, we got a step there. We have a step there.
I believe it's Vermont or New Hampshire. And it's called Eddie's Wheels. And I was investigating, and they had a form where I had to do multiple, like 16 or 20 measurements, you know, measuring the distance between, you know, shoulder blades and to the floor and, you know, his torso and whatnot. And they were able to build this cart, which is a variation on a cart that is for a cat. As you can see, TJ is small. He's part Jack Russell and part Jack Russell Terrier and part Bichon Frise, which are small dogs. Mm-hmm. He's got a little Chihuahua in him. Those ears are, you know, Chihuahua,
yeah,
for sure. You know, fortunately he is small and he's easy to tote around, and you can see that he can sort of coordinate what he's doing, but if he were without the cart, he would fall over. He can't balance.
Right.
And he can't, you know, his legs will get crossed up and stuff, but he was just having a grand old time. There were other dogs there. Kids running around.
So cute.
He had been in the swimming pool. He loves to swim. I have a little sort of a harness thing that goes around his legs, and I can hold on to him and he swims around. So he had just been in the pool. There he is. Mm-hmm. Well, from what I'm seeing now, he's stuck, and he can eventually get himself out of most jams. He he makes an effort to turn that thing around.
Oh my goodness.
Like I say, the front wheels are locked. They're not turnable. Otherwise, he would do nothing but go in circles.
Oh my goodness. Thank you to a Gastronaut for that raid. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank
hey,
you. Thank
Gastronaut.
You.
How are you doing, buddy?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Annie Talk Show. I am here with Phileas Cheesesteak. As you guys probably already know, he's well known in the Twitch Sings community.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, yes, but he is.
I try to get around to everybody's street.
And we're just going over some of his lovely, thank you guys. We're just going over some of his, this is TJ, his little Jack Russell Terrier mix, Chi. I just kind of said it all. Go ahead on that. Thank you guys. Welcome, you guys. Awesome. And then, so now, how old is he?
He's 7. He'll be 7 in December. He was born on December 22nd. And like I say, he was in a litter of puppies that some friends, some very good friends of mine, had. And he was the runt of the litter. And by the time I was visiting them because they lived in Louisiana and I'm in Alabama. And I was visiting them for New Year's. And I got to see this little bugger when he was so small. He could fit in your hand. He was so teeny. But even then, he was exhibiting little evidence that he was slow. The vet thought maybe he was just, you know, a slow developer and that he would, you know, grow out of it. But he could walk up to about 6 or 8 months. He could walk across the room, you know, and he'd fall over. But I fell in love with him at first sight. And I said, I must have this dog. They said, well, he's too young now. Come back in 2 months. So I went back in February, picked him up, drove him back the 5 hours back to the house, and then took him to my vet the next week. And my vet didn't really recognize what was going on with him and thought maybe he might have a little hydroencephalitis or something, a little water on the brain. So we did a steroid treatment with him over the course of 2 weeks, and it didn't show very much improvement at all. And you know, he's got, like I say, he's got that sort of Chihuahua head where he's got like a dome on his head. So they thought maybe it was swollen, but it wasn't. And went back a couple months later to the vet for, you know, checkup or for shots or whatever. And there was a guest, there was a visiting vet there because my regular vet was on vacation. And the guy saw him and said, oh yeah, no, I've seen this before. That's cerebellar hypoplasia. Mm. And it's a condition he was born with and he won't recover from it. But good news is it won't get worse.
Right.
You know, it's just it's where it is. And by the time he gets to be an adult, you know, he probably won't be able to walk at all. Because at that time, he could still walk. He could walk across the room and then he'd fall over or whatever. And, you know, I think back in, you know, my parents' day, my mom was a farm girl in Nebraska. And she told me, she goes, you know, we wouldn't have a dog that couldn't pull its weight, you know, couldn't work on the farm. The cats had to be mousers. You know, we weren't going to waste food on them and stuff like that. And I was like, well, you know what? We don't live in those days anymore. I can take care of this pup if I want to. And it's been, you know, for me, I've never been married have, you know, been lived by myself most of my life. Never had kids. You know, I've taught kids, but never had kids.
Right.
But this is like having a baby. And I had to learn that I couldn't go out and stay out, you know, 6 hours is the longest that I try to stay away from him. Because if he has to go to the bathroom, he's there and he can't, you know, he has to lay in it. Aww. So he, you know, as a puppy, we had accidents all the time. I used to put puppy pads underneath the sheets in my bed because he would sleep in the bed with me, but I'd end up with wet, you know, I'd be wet and the bed would be wet. So the puppy pads underneath the sheets would at least protect the mattress. Now that, I mean, once he got to be, you know, a year, 2 years old, he can control himself. And he gives me signs. He has signs. He starts kicking his legs really hard and he's got to go, you know. So
you
take him out of his little bed and put him on the paper and he's
good to go. the other dogs to the cats, everybody gets along. They're not like clawing each other out or anything.
Yeah, and the cat, James is a little stuck up. He really doesn't want to have anything to do with TJ. He'll only come around when I'm feeding TJ and maybe some food drops on the floor and he gets to scarf it up. The cats, like I said, they love TJ in the wintertime because they'll snuggle up with him get warm with him. But TJ, and I've had TJ around other dogs and big dogs, Rottweilers. And they turn into protection mode.
Yeah.
It's funny. Some really good friends of mine that live very close. I go to their house on Saturdays to watch the college football games. And they have a big dog. That's what are those pit bull? He's a pit bull type. He's not a pit bull per se, but it's a variation of, and this is a very energetic, large 150-pound dog. Bar, bar, bar. And when I take TJ over there, he lays down the couch with him. He'll lay around him. He's very, very, very gentle with him. Lets TJ chill on his ear or whatever, and just most dogs though they react very very well around him. And I haven't ever been afraid of him being around other animals.
Right. So. Now, you are also involved in an organization, or you're involved with an organization that has something to do with caring for disabled dogs.
Only in a loose sense. I'm not a card carrying, PETA or type person. I do advocate for, caring for disabled animals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I get the chance. The same sort of stigmas. Sorry, I'm
hit a nerve.
Same sort of stigmas that go along with parents of disabled children know that people react differently, when they see. And the same thing holds for TJ. And if I go visiting or take him out, people are, they first see when I tell him he's, special needs, he doesn't walk, usually they're like, oh, too bad. I'm just like,
right.
Don't feel sorry for him. He was born that way. He's happy. He wags his tail. I had a little pet psychologist look him over and he said, he seems to be fine. He wags his tail when he sees you, when you walk into the room, and he's happy. He's well fed. He's healthy. He just can't walk and he doesn't bark. So, hey, that's a plus right there. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
People react and they go, oh, that's, or, and I tell little kids usually don't have a problem with it. And I say, you want to hold him? You go, oh, yes, I want to hold him. So they like to hold him and stuff. But generally adults are like, it's like
hands off. Yeah. Oh, I know. Spider monkey. I feel you, man. I have two dogs and I can't imagine my life without them. They're pain in my ace, but they,
One of them, but my life has changed. My life has completely changed. I'm not as social as I used to be. I do shows and stuff. I go to rehearsal and I go to work and I go there and I come straight home and I feed him twice a day. I hand feed him. I usually get the kind of the dog food that's not the chunky with the gravy, but it's it's the minced dog food that's all, it comes out in one big lump and I cut it and then make it into little slices and feed it to him. And the thing about it's part of his condition is that every time I try to start feeding him, it's like the first time. It's like he has to relearn to eat.
Yeah.
Time. Oh. So he'll, he'll just bump his nose into the food. He'll start licking it and stuff. And then he'll take a little tentative bite and he'll chew it and he'll go, that's good. And then after that, it's like zick, zick. I mean, they just, they go right in. I tried initially, just putting his food in his bowl and putting it next to him and, letting him like put his head side. But that was a mess. That was such a mess. And it took him forever. And if I'm getting ready to go to work in the morning, I'm like, dude, we don't have time. Just eat.
So. Yeah, for sure. Eat it. Thank you so much for sharing TJ with us. Yeah. and his zest for life, as you can see there.
He's in my stream every night. He sits right back here. Awesome. I'm gonna get a new setup here in a couple weeks, and I'll probably have a TJ cam. Right now I just use the TS, Twitch stream app, and just so have him positioned so he can be seen. But I'll have a TJ cam and stuff, so he'll have his own camera, his own.
Hey, Gloop Dog, how are you? Thanks for stopping in.
Gloop Dog!
Really appreciate it. We heard the story of how you were the one responsible for naming Phileas TV to Phileas Cheesesteak. So we heard that story earlier. So we have you to thank. I can't imagine. He says that you pretty much have a name for everybody. So
you meet people in life that don't know a stranger. You know,
right.
And Gloop Dog, bless his heart, is one of those people. And I've known people that, you know, I hate nicknames. I never wanted to be called Charlie. I never wanted to be called Chuck. And I have taken Chaz a couple times, but you know, he has a name. He takes everybody's name and makes it his own and makes it unique to them.
I love that.
And it's for memory too. I'm sure I know, but, he started calling me Philly Cheesesteak, and that was okay. Okay.
I love that. That's
and
awesome.
It worked. I mean, it worked. So, I mean, you know,
Well, speaking of Twitch, why don't you tell us a little bit of how you became a Twitch Sings? Player gamer.
I mentioned earlier that I started streaming on Twitch World of Warcraft back in the day, back when Twitch, you know, back when Asmongold only had 10 viewers, you know, those people that watch WoW streams know who I'm talking about. Anyway, but I quit, you know, very shortly after that because of technical reasons and stuff. And then I built a gaming PC 2 years ago, and I play World of Warcraft. That's my main drug. But I watch WoW streamers on Twitch. The one I watch most is Tao Lee. He streams and he's great. But I was just looking one day and I saw Twitch Sings, or it came up and it said, do you want to download Twitch Sings? And I was like, excuse me? I had a scary moment. I'm like,
what is that? Sings?
So I thought, yes, I would like it. It's not for Mac, it's for PC. And hey, look, I have a PC now. Those of us who are Mac people, and I've been a Mac person since SE30 was my first Mac.
Oh, wow.
How many times, you know, I love Blizzard, and that's why I played WoW, because Blizzard made their games until Overwatch for the Mac platform as well as PC. So they're like, download the app. And so I downloaded it and was like, hey, this is like karaoke. I suck at karaoke. And I hate to do, I have friends that love karaoke and they're like, come on, let's go sing some karaoke. And you know, my first couple streams, I look back on my first couple streams, I'm like,
me too. Cringeworthy.
But I find it very comfortable to do in the privacy of my own home. And I must say that when I started wearing the hat, is you can mark my stream before the hat and after the hat. Two different things. So it was the first part of June. You know, so nice. It had been out for since what, March? So it was relatively young. There were only about 2,000 songs at that point. There are 2,500 now. And so I just started. I did it all offline. You know, I did seeds. I did the duets and completed duets and put some up and then offline and stuff. And so I still didn't stream
for
about 2 weeks. But I went and watched people and watched streams. And I had some duets that they could sing with me. I just, you know, and part of my strategy, I guess, if one has to have, is to get out there and get to know people and so that they recognize my name, so that when I am streaming and if they're following me, then maybe they'll want to come and join my channel. So
awesome. Gloop says, some nicknames just stick, and Phileas is so wonderful.
And
yes, we totally agree.
Yes, the most delicious. and the stickiest and the stickiest of all cheese steaks. and Weasel just have fun with it. They just like,
oh yes, they're quite entertaining. I'll say that. Yeah. I happened to be, I think it was in Gloop's stream, and then I don't know how I ended up in Weasel's, but then it was like, whoa, this is. I had it up on my screen for a while I was working, and I was kind of lurking, but they're quite entertaining, very very entertaining. Absolutely love it. Chat, if you guys, I remember when Phileas TV had one viewer.
It was probably him.
It was probably
him. It was Aleandris. Aleandris was my first viewer.
Oh, there you go. We always seem to remember our very first viewer or our very first
I did
duet.
my very first duet with Chakotay.
Ooh.
And a gastronaut whose stream I try to never miss was like maybe fifth or sixth person that I did a duet with. But I remember Kiwi in the Sticks. She was the first stream that I watched.
Okay.
Look at this gorgeous girl, and she can really and so I started jumping around and then, you know, found a lot of people, you know. And in the Twitch Sings community, of course, everybody says it, and it's true. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful community, and the people are supportive, and they're nice. And after a while you start noticing that there are groups, there are people that know one another better than others and stuff like that. And, you know, part of the game, and this is a game, you know, you get points. I was watching Big Brother before we started tonight. I had to turn it off because I wanted to see who got voted out. But the social game in Twitch Sings is as important as the singing game.
Yeah.
You get around if you want to grow your stream, and if you want to, you know, have people see you, then you have to go see them, and you have to contribute to their stream.
Network.
And,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm happy for everybody that's in this stream. So thank you so very much.
Yes.
We see you. I see you. I want to open up to chat. So if you have any questions, I think you can still do the exclamation point join, and you can ask your question there. I do have one up right now, but if you have a question or any question for Mr. Phileas here, please type away. Let us know your questions.
My 10th grade typing teacher would say, questions, any questions?
Oh, any questions? follow. Just kidding.
That's right.
Anybody get that reference?
A lot.
So where do you see yourself? So wait, hold on. Everybody get your questions ready. But I do have one more question, last question for Mr. Phileas here. But where do you see yourself, like, say, from 5 years from now? What would you
5 years from now?
Yeah. I love
See, what did I put? Because I put some notes on the questionnaire when you sent the questions to me.
Oh, okay.
I said Social Security.
Don't tell my secret.
Social Security, because I'll be 63.
There will
I'll be
no Social
when
Security.
I'm 64 and, like, really mean it. Of course, you know, I would like to think that I could be on the Broadway.
Broadway. You know, I was at Broadway.
Hey, I have many people that I have done theater with when they were children, or when they were just starting out, or when they were at the university, who are on Broadway now. Yeah, I mean, I know people.
Awesome.
And for a number of years, if anybody that I knew was in a Broadway show, I went to New York and I made sure I saw their show.
Yeah.
There are so many now. I would be going to New York two or three times a year, and it's like,
Agreed. Let's feel these questions. So Broadway.
Yeah, sure.
That's a goal.
Why not?
Okay.
I've been in a show that was headed for Broadway and was in the cast. Yeah. If they ever make it to Broadway, maybe they'll call me.
There you go. So let's field this question real quick, and I see a few more coming in. So first question is, you said you started in grade school, then junior high, then high school. This is from Evie, by the way, or Viserys. Mm-hmm. I can't say that. Sorry. And at what point did you think you might like to do acting as a profession? You have him.
It's funny thinking. Because earlier when I was mentioning my college days, I decided to become a teacher when my mom told me that I couldn't be a theater major because they were not going to support me, and they couldn't support me. And most artists need to be supported. And if, you know, if your family is willing to do that for you until you can get on your own two feet, then that's fine. But I don't know if there was any one point. I've always, since my first show in the third grade, which is Wizard of Oz, I have always loved to be on stage and I've loved to be in front of people.
Yeah.
Conversely though, I need rehearsal. Okay.
Me too.
Rehearsal to be good. I am not, we've got natural entertainers. Some people are natural. Gloop Dog, Weasel, yes. Bat Sam. These people are natural entertainers. They can just boom, do it. I need rehearsal, okay, to be good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Or to be decent, to be mediocre. I need rehearsal. And I don't think there was any point at which I ever thought that I could do this as a career, or because I've got enough of my mom's practical Nebraska farm girl in me to go, you know, don't count your chickens before they're hatched, you know, a bird in the hand, we're through the bush, get
mom is just job. Conservative, that's
you've
all.
You've got bills to pay, you have to pay because we are not going to. And so, you know, in teaching, I was able to get work right out of school, and I've always supported myself. And like I said, I've never been married, and so I never got the advantage of my married siblings, where when they got married, mm-hmm. people like threw shit at them, like refrigerators and dishwashers and stuff.
Seriously.
I had to buy all that stuff myself.
I know.
So
we know. And Gloop has a question. What's your favorite? I think you might have answered this earlier, but he may not have been here at the time. What's your favorite role you've ever played?
My favorite role I've ever played was just a couple years ago. I got to play Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. And it's not only my favorite role that I've ever played, because the very next summer I got to play Max Bialystock, and the summer before that I got to play Edna in Hairspray. I had a good run those three summers, but I just worked hard, really hard with it. And I got with the director about 2 weeks before the actual rehearsal started. And, you know, Tevye he tells the story. He's the narrator. He's the guy. And started working on my monologues, you know, and the songs. And when it was cast, we had a really good run, sold out performances every night. People loved the show. The community I live in is not so large that people don't recognize. People stop me in the supermarket and go, I have seen every show you have ever been in, and you are just so good at the theater. And I'm like, thank you so much for coming to the shows. We just love you. And I brought my daughter to see you, and you are so good. Thank you, ma'am. How about those melons over there? Yes. Anyway.
Just love you in the theater.
Thank you.
That
bless your heart. So
much. Funny.
And I love you back. Could I eat my supper now? Thank you. Bye. Anyway.
We have another question. What's the next song challenge from Spider Monkey?
The next song challenge? Like what? Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Is this an inside joke?
I challenged Spider Monkey to sing Oklahoma. We've had a couple of these challenges. I said, they've got Perfidia on here, you know, because Nat King Cole did Perfidia back in the day, and it's a Spanish song in Spanish. And I taught Spanish for a number of years, so I'm okay. I'm technically fluent. I'm not really, really fluent. But if you drop me off the bus in the middle of Mexico City, I can make my way around. So anyway,
let's go drop them off.
That'll really, but so we did that, and then I challenged him last week when the musicals dropped to do Oklahoma. He did it. He did a scene with me, and he was awful. He was just terrible. But you know what? He went and studied that song, and he did a scene yesterday. And I watched it this morning. I watched it three times. It was so good. It was so, and he had the harmony, and he did all of the bum, 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 bum. He did all the build up in the song. It was great. It was great.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Well, I love that.
He's gonna have to challenge me. I mean, Spider-Man has to come up with something for me to sing, because I'm not. I mean, there are a lot of songs on the Twitch Sings list of songs that I wouldn't. I mean, I don't have. I mean, you know, different people have different kinds of voices, and I really don't sing with my stage voice on here, just because I have a condenser microphone, but. Right. I'm old school, you know, microphones we don't need. And I'll blow it out. It'll clip out. I'm going to get a mixer. So I'll have some more control over, you know, how much volume I send through the mic, through into the system. But, you know, the people with rock voices, I just can't, have never been able to do that.
I'm so envious of that.
Yeah, and people that can do lots of trills and runs and, you know, like Bruno Mars and
Raging.
Matt. Yeah. And people like Donnie. Oh my God. Yes. Look, why is she doing that? She must have sung in bars for years. You know, Gloop Dog, he's got his band stuff.
And Gloop Dog is amazing.
He knows every song. He says,
yeah.
I have not ever seen anybody say, sing this with me, that he couldn't sing it with him.
He was so awesome. I think I raided him, and then he was in a party. He got out of the party so he can come and sing a duet with me as protocols go. And it was so gracious of him. And I was blown away by his voice. I could have sat there and just listened to him like the whole night. It was just glorious.
I want to know what his dry cleaning bill is, though.
That's true. That's very true. We have another question from, this one is from, is it Alejandras?
Yes.
And the question is, what is one of your favorite songs you have sang so far on Twitch Sings? Good question.
Oh, it has to be Don McLean's Vincent. A lot of people know it starts out starry, starry night, portraits hung on empty walls. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs of all time. I really, really love that song. But there, you know, when they got the musicals in, there are a lot of the songs from musicals. Although, you know, I would love some Sondheim on here.
I would too.
We've got some Andrew Lloyd Webber, but not very much. But Sondheim is my guy. I've done A Little Night Music. I've done Into the Woods. I've done Sweeney Todd. You know, oh, we could sing some Sweeney Todd up in here.
I would like... Joseph and the Technicolor.
Oh, yeah, Club. Yeah.
Wouldn't
yeah.
you? Gloop Dog says that is grossly overestimated, Philly. I think you were talking about something earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, whatever, Gloop. you know, if I could get, I mean, yeah, Joseph, those Kenan days. Has it gone? Where did they go? I've never had a chance to be in that show.
Neither have I.
My theater did it. I was in Oklahoma doing Nicey Nicey Johnson in Guys and Dolls and playing Falstaff. But that, you know, that
I would love Joseph.
Yeah.
That would be so awesome.
And there are roles that I would like to play that I have not had the opportunity to play. There are roles that I would never have been cast for and would not be cast for. As you get older, you know, there are roles that you have to look back and say, just let it go, because you'll never be in, you know.
Just let it go.
Start your
let it go.
I was a little mom and pop theater in South Alabama for a couple of years, and 50 miles one way to rehearsal. Oy.
Oh, and, my God.
They were an older couple who had been on Broadway at some point. They were dancers, probably in lots of shows in the 60s and 70s in the chorus. But they had their own little dance studio. I told you about this earlier, a little dance studio. And they would play he would play all the leads, and it didn't matter. He was old and he would play whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Nah, I don't want to do it. I have one more question. I have, who was your inspiration for getting into theater? Ooh, that's a very good question.
My inspiration. Who inspired me the most was when my seventh grade drama teacher, Mr. Silvest. He was great. He gave me opportunities to work not only on stage, but behind the scenes. And he really, really got me started. There are several people here in Tuscaloosa now. The man who directed me in Fiddler on the Roof, Paul Looney, he's a local theater staple in this town. He directed the theater that I belong to for years and years and years. Tina Fitch, if I start naming people, I will forget somebody and they'll be slighted. But they all inspired me at different points in my career. You know, I consider myself an amateur actor, not a professional actor, although I have had professional gigs. Like I said, I did rep theater for a number of summers. I have performed with professionals from Broadway who came down to do a workshop and first performance of a show that is still may go to Broadway one day.
Nice.
Last year, 2 years ago. And it was still in development, you know, got new lines like in the final dress. That was an experience. But all those people have been and still are on Broadway and in shows now.
Wow, very nice.
And so I've worked with all the kind of people, and I've had different inspirations at different times in my career. I have worked with people who are known and well known, and I got to meet Tom Hanks one time.
Oh, cool.
Because a friend of mine was in a show on Broadway with him and took us backstage and stuff. So I have pictures with all the celebs. I go to the stage door when I go to, and I'm like, hey, will you take a little selfie maybe?
Yeah. can you sign this? Can we sign your picture? Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's see. Anybody else have any questions in chat? I've had a wonderful time here, despite our little technical issues earlier. But overall, I think we've learned a lot about Phileas. I love his theater stories, as you can tell, because we could totally relate, you know, in a similar situation.
Theater people sit around and start talking and comparing shows and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
People who don't do it are sitting in the background going, yeah, all right.
Very true.
Waiter.
check plays. Yeah, seriously. But if there are no other questions, I really, truly appreciate it. Phileas, thank you so much for being a part of this stream and this interview. And for me and for all of us getting to get to know you, my goodness, I can't even talk. For all of us, they have the opportunity to get to know you.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me. Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you wanted to do this with me, but I mean, I'm happy to be here and I'm, you know, more than happy.
Don't sell yourself short. Well, everybody has a story. So
I know. And happy. Isn't that the thing though? Everybody does have a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have Spider Monkey to credit for this, because he was the one that actually was in one of my streams and I had put it out there. He's saying, you guys, I'm looking for people to interview. I'd love to be able to, you know, talk to with people who have interesting stories to tell. Blah, blah, blah. And Spider Monkey says, I think you should reach out to Phileas. And I said, okay, I will. So there you go. So you have Spider Monkey to thank.
Oh, that's not, and how nice is that?
Absolutely. And we were working on a few more. We got a few more lined up.
Yay!
So we've got actually one of them lined up in here soon. We just have to nail down a date and time. So cool. I won't tell you who, but
we'll be waiting.
So absolutely fun time. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and enlightening us on your musical theater and your theater performances, and for being
TJ.
You know,
TJ's, hey, don't forget TJ. Me.
Bye, TJ.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's been great hearing your stories, Phileas, says Guam Nam Nam. Thanks for coming out and talking to us, Phileas, says Evie. And Jean says, we love you. It was nice meeting you, Jean says. So lots of love going around here, you guys. It's been great hearing your stories, Phileas. Thanks for sharing. Awesome. So, guys, that brings us to the end of our stream. I really, truly appreciate it. If you haven't already, if we can get one of the mods to please shout out Phileas down below, and really, really appreciate it. So if you haven't, if you don't already follow him, here's your opportunity to do so. It takes just a few minutes. Click on over, follow him, and you can just, he's got a wonderful resonating voice, and I love it. So, you know.
Why? Because I'm an actor.
because he's an actor. So if we could shout him out, I would really appreciate it. And again, thank you guys all so much for being here, for being a part of the stream, and for making it what it is. And get the word out that, you know, we're going to be interviewing some more people. And if you know anybody that has an interesting story to tell, and, you know, we always want to highlight, especially some of our Twitch singers in this community, for sure. So, and if you know anybody that has a compelling story, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thought I was going to choke there, but thank you again. I appreciate everybody. So take care. Thank you. Thank you, Guam Nam Nam. You guys take care. Phileas, thank you so much. I will see you in a stream sometime soon.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to, you know,
Let me just say too, thank you for shining the spotlight on people, on Average Joes. I've gone back and listened to a lot of your podcasts, girl, and you've been doing this for a while, and you know what you're doing.
Thank you, maybe barring
the technical stuff at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a learning curve here. Exactly. So, but yes, as Phileas says, I do have a podcast on a normal channel, so you can check my panels down below, and you can follow me on my podcast. I do also have a YouTube channel, so feel free to subscribe there. But like Phileas says, I've been doing this a while, so it's not my first rodeo. But definitely I love meeting new people. I love hearing their backstory. And I love being able to, you know, for those who would not otherwise have a voice, we don't have to worry about Phileas because he has a voice.
Hello.
But if you didn't have a voice, I would love to be able to be that platform for you. So thank you, Gastronaut. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks so much for the raid, too. Appreciate it. So good night, everybody. Thank you so much. Love you, love you, love you. What's that song that Donnie Marie sing? May tomorrow be a perfect day.
I love Carol Burnett. We